This is At Risk Radio.
Welcome to At Risk Radio. At Risk Radio is a show where we talk about leadership in the church at risk. My name is Mark Stafford, and I'm the host of the show. I'm here with David Witt. He's the CEO of SOM International. And with Carol Smith, she is the director of the Global Ambassadors. Now, Carol was here about a year ago, David, and we would encourage you to go back and listen to that episode where Carol was on before, and she talked about the Global Ambassadors. But there's, of course, new news, and Carol just came back from a big trip. And so, David, tell us what's going on new with Global Ambassadors and with Carol.
Well, Carol, again, welcome. It's always a delight to have you on, and you're such a joy on staff and add so much energy to me and with the enthusiasm what the Lord's doing. And we specifically, of course, are having you on because you just got back with a team of consultants from Northwest Africa and have some amazing stories. But out of the gate, I think some of our listeners might be wondering, what's the Global Ambassadors Director doing with international work? So maybe you want to answer that, how there, you know, most of your time is spent on serving our partners in America and energizing them. And we're in the episodes right now that we've been interviewing a lot of those global ambassadors. So I know your heart is singing with these amazing episodes on At Risk Radio that we've been doing. And we invite others to listen to that. But again, talk about now your overlap. The times you've been drawn overseas and you just got back. What was the Global Ambassadors Director doing in Northwest Africa?
Well, the short answer is that we provide training for the persecuted church, the people we serve overseas. We provide training. And it's something that SOM's been doing from the beginning. But to give a little greater context, I'd like to explain that Global Ambassadors started from the very beginning. It was actually your vision, David, that we would teach discipleship and we would bring tools back from other countries, the things that we saw God doing in other countries, we would bring it back to strengthen the church here. So we've been doing discipleship training both internationally and domestically since you started, you and your wife, Cindy, started SOM. It's been your heart, God's heart, the heart of everyone at SOM. But I'd like to also say that we see God doing exciting things with this kind of ministry. The involvement of our partners in serving the persecuted church started with what we now call the discipleship team. And it started with strengthening the domestic church through the tools that we saw God using, which would be specifically DDM in this context. And so team started 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember the exact date. And partners like myself, I was a volunteer back in those days. We did DDM workshops here in this country for years and years and years.
Okay, so I have to interrupt here because if you don't sit there in the SOM office, you might not know what DDM is. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yes, of course. Discussion Discipleship Method. It's our discipleship training. It's how to understand the Bible for yourself and how to teach others to do the same. We can multiply disciples that teach using DDM.
All right, perfect. Thanks for that explanation.
Sorry about that little insider lingo. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt your flow there.
Too many acronyms. All right. So anyway, I'll cut to the chase. I get excited about this stuff. We've been doing it for a long time. We have people that are trained to teach it, people that are very accomplished. And so a couple of years back, David said, Carol, I want you to get on the phone. And at that time, it was actually Mexico. He said, call Umberto and see if he wants to do a workshop. And what we discovered is we have a very well-trained team that can teach this overseas. Consider it the maturity of the discipleship team. It's the maturity of our vision for global ambassadors, that if God wills, that we not only would serve domestically, but we would also go. And that's what we do. And that's what we did on this last trip.
Okay, well, let's go with this last trip then. And Carol, what was your hope that would happen? And let's start talking about what did the Lord do?
Well, I'd have to start with what we did last summer. We took a very large team last summer. I think it was 10 or 11. David, you might know better than me. But we took a team last summer and we went to Africa. And we did, for many of those folks, that was their first DDM workshop. So it was their first exposure. And we did 6 days in total of training, 3 in the north and 3 in the south. And it was a fabulous trip. I think for us, it was a demanding trip because we had to make some changes to the way we taught DDM. We had to adjust to the people. And God empowered and the Holy Spirit spoke, and we made some shifts, and it was a very successful trip. There was 18 people that did both workshops with us, and some of those folks, about 10 of them, then came back for the workshop this last March. But God did something very different on this last trip. The people that he had our director invite seemed miraculous that they were handpicked for this particular workshop. They were ready right from the beginning. That the vocabulary that we use for DDM is we train up presenters that go to the next group to present a Bible story. They changed those words right away. They said, nope, we're missionaries and we're going to the next village. And so right from the beginning, they had a vision and we challenged them. First of all, we did not teach at all. We were there as advisors. Our director had prepared for the workshops we did or we participated in. He had trained 30 Africans to teach the previous, like 2 months before, and they were trained, they were ready. They were ready to go, ready to teach. We were there to coach, and that's all we did. They taught 6 days of workshops. The folks that were there that had never been trained were challenged right from the beginning. We asked them not only to participate and learn the process, but to become teachers, that they would know the process well enough to teach. And we also asked them, if they were group leaders, we asked them to train up at least one additional group leader. And most of them did more than that. Most of them trained two, maybe even three other people to lead groups. So they took the bull by the horns. They became teachers and they became, just incredibly equipped leaders. The level of questions they asked was extraordinary. And I should probably pause and let you ask another question if you want, because I could just rave about their accomplishments.
We probably need to go to a break. So why don't we do that? And so let's run to a break and then we'll come back and we'll hear more from Carol Smith and what happened with this trip that she took to Northwest Africa to train people with the DDM, Discussion Discipleship Method, and how you teach others to teach the Bible. We'll be right back.
Lost Story Cinema presents a new feature film, the story of Frank Higgins, the lumberjack sky pilot.
More than any class that's lived in our land, these lumberjacks can truthfully say, no man cared for my soul.
The church has forgotten the prodigal while caring for the souls of the saved.
30,000 men? Men to whom God is dead, and Sunday is a harvest day of iniquity, and the saloons and brothels.
But you were there, willing.
Willing, yes, but not ordained, you see.
The Duluth Presbytery is not going to ordain an uncouth lad who hasn't even finished the sixth grade.
Ever since I was a young lad in Canada, I've wanted to pilot men to the skies.
Aren't you the lumberjack sky pilot?
I am.
My brother heard you preaching. He said you's a fellow who'd never leave a lumberjack down.
I'm too low and vile for even God to do anything with.
But God brought me all this way to find you.
Based on the true story of an ordinary man who would become a giant. The Parish of the Pines, coming soon. For more information about this film and to learn about a movie premiere near you, go to theparishofthepinesmovie.com, theparishofthepinesmovie.com.
At Risk Radio.
Welcome back to At Risk Radio. I'm online with David Witt. He's the CEO of SOM International. Also online with Carol Smith. She's the director of the Global Ambassadors. Now, she was recalling in the first half of this episode about this trip that she took to Northwest Africa, and she was able to not just train people, but train people who train people who are making disciples. So you're making disciples who make disciples, which is ultimately the goal of anything as far as discipleship is concerned. And so, David, I want to just go back to you and to ask you a little bit about what you're hoping to accomplish with DDM and with the Global Ambassadors, and maybe to follow up a little bit about what this trip that happened with Carol and some of the other leaders from SOM.
Yeah, Carol, you drew us in well in the beginning here, and I'm excited to hear more here. And I think one of the, again, things that are so deep in our heart is multiplication. And you, what I heard a few stories about just how DDM is impacting immediately this multiplication and revival there of Muslims coming to Christ like never before in history. Actually, I'm going to ask you this first question, because people stumble over DDM, what it means, acronym, but they took care of that. And they even came up with a song and everything. Can you even tell us, maybe launch out with just what happened with the name DDM and how the Africans simplified this?
Can you sing us a song?
Well, I don't remember how they simplified it. I do know we made a decision some time back that we weren't going to translate discussion discipleship method into the languages that we have to use in these countries. So we call it DDM no matter where we go. But they got so excited about being able to multiply the teaching of the Word of God that they did kind of a little rap song for it. And I can't do it for you. We're trying to get them to do it on video. But they did, yeah, they did a rap song about DDM. And David, do you remember what the words were?
Well, I was just told by Rick on your team there that the essence of it is DDM is a way of life. A way of life is DDM. And talking about, again, the Word of God leading in their thought, in their actions, in their the way they do life. And it was so beautiful, because that's so much what we've talked about. And India uses that line. It's they're doing Christ, the kingdom of God, is a way of life. And so I was thrilled when I heard that. And I think Rick is going to get that totally translated. We'll probably get that out of email down the road here. But keep on going now with some of the fruits and testimonies of what God did during this training and how that's impacting Northwest Africa.
Well, what I've described so far is how they personally embraced it. And I think the anecdote about the rap song is just perfectly captures their excitement. And I'm hoping we can get a video of that. It was very good. One of the translators demonstrated it for us, but we were so stunned we couldn't even get our phones out in time to capture it. They did 6 days of training. And you said that we trained. We did not train. The only thing I ever did was ask them questions. And I tried to frame every coaching that I did, all the coaching I did, as a question. So when I was wanting them to consider even leaving something out, I would frame it as a question, ask them if they wanted to talk about this. And then for as far as choices in the training, I would frame all that as an alternative questions. You know, if you do it this way, what do you think the advantages are? If you do it this other way, what do you think the advantages of that are? And what I saw them do is just beautiful. They're natural teachers and natural learners. They learn by asking questions and answering them, so that everything that I said to them would generate a discussion. They would hammer through it. They would decide what they thought was the best approach. And they were ready to rock on it. By the time they finished, everybody in the, you know, there was 50 of them, everybody understood what they were talking about, what the choices were, and how to do it. So what we saw in action is they naturally do tell the principle, show how to do it, and then give the purpose for why we do it that way. It was all done very naturally through their own discussion. The most astounding part of the workshop for me is, in a domestic workshop, we will always have a teaching toward the end that's called next steps. We did not do that in the same way at this training. They finished the workshop, and then nobody left. I was told everybody wanted to go home at lunch on the last day. Nobody was ready to leave. Nobody left. Even the next day, they weren't ready to leave. But what they did was they had 3 rounds, 6 hours of planning meetings where they hammered out their own next steps. The director, the director and one of his key guys spent 2 hours under a tree sitting on those plastic chairs, hammering out what they thought the plan for their country was. Then they got all the leaders from the country that we were in. They got all the leaders together for another 2 hours of planning. And they planned out establishing training centers for DDM throughout the country. And I got the impression it was very similar to the organizational structure they already have for the seed and fertilizer program. So not only do they know how to do it, they have a vision for what the training centers would be used for and how they would spread the word of God in that country. Then they had another meeting with all 50 of the participants where they hammered out how they were going to take that central team of leaders from the country we were in. They were going to take that central team and they were going to travel to all the other countries that were represented there. And they were going to do the same 6 days of training in each one of those countries to help them set up a core team to multiply DDM in each of those countries. So following this vision through, they will have established DDM training centers in 5 West African nations.
Yeah, so the multiplication, and we're seeing so many more Muslims now mature in their faith, not even come to Christ, but now mature in it because they've been given some tools of really putting the Word of God deep in their heart. I remember, Carol, hearing one of the testimonies of one of the believers from extreme persecuted and restricted nation where they have apostasy laws and you'd be put to death for leaving Islam. And I remember hearing something about that they're going to go with a smile on their face every time they pass an imam or a mosque because something about they safely put the word of God in their heart. Am I quoting that right?
That's exactly what they said. They saw right away, immediately, that they did not have to carry a Bible to do DEM because they capture the word of God in their heart pocket. They carry the scriptures with them everywhere they go. So no matter what the laws of a nation or a community or even a village, no matter what rules they establish, the word of God is mobile. It goes in the person and they can take an entire Bible study. It essentially makes the church, the scriptures, the church of God in these countries becomes the living Bible, and they can take it anywhere they go. They can take it no matter who's there, no matter what opposition they see. They can walk in any place and bring the word of God with them.
We're running low on time. We always fight the time clock. We rejoice we have heaven one of these days to unlimited time. But Carol, end with 2 comments. One is, I heard so much about the love and unity to a degree they've never experienced. And then I want you to end with inviting people to what's in your heart. How can people in the listening audience continue to support what God's doing in Northwest Africa?
Well, to talk about the love and unity, I wanted to just quickly read a scripture. The day we arrived, it was late at night. The next morning I woke up and I woke up with a scripture in my head. And I just wanted to read it. It's from Psalm 126. This is what God told me when I woke up the first morning in Africa. We shall be like those that dream. Then our mouth shall be filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they shall say among the nations, the Lord has done great things with them. The Lord has done great things with us, of which we shall be glad. That captures everything that happened. The joy, the unity, the vision. We were all sharing God's heart to take the gospel to the nations. And it was not just those 5 countries. They saw the vision for the world during those 6 days. And they're carrying it with them.
So it's another, you know, again, last comment as a true global ambassador in your heart, as a person who has experienced, tasted, and seen what God's doing internationally. What can you speak, again, to our listening audience, potential global ambassadors? What's the takeaway today that they can even apply in their own heart?
Well, I would say, first of all, if you're listening to this podcast, that God has already spoken to you. He's already given you a hunger, or you wouldn't be hearing this. And I would encourage everyone that listens to this to not only experience that hunger, but to ask God what he wants you to do with it. Because we are to hear and we are to obey. We were talking about that started at Mount Sinai. We are to hear God and we are to obey God. And if you're hearing from the Lord, and all of us do, he has something for you. And so I would encourage you to pursue that with all your heart, no matter how crazy it may seem. If you told me 12 years ago I was going to be doing teaching in Africa, I would have thought you were insane. But the first time you hear, if you pray a one-sentence prayer, God, teach me to do this, and I'll teach others. Just be ready to hang on for the ride. Because he will take you places you have no idea, and he will turn your life upside down, and he will glorify himself completely by that process. So sign up for Global Ambassadors.
There are so many different ways for people to serve with Global Ambassadors. You know, there's obviously the training aspect. We just had Michael Elon on, and he talked about the connecting aspect and the prayer aspect. And there's a number of different ways that you can serve inside of the Global Ambassadors ministry. And so the way you get started with all of that is by subscribing to the newsletter, and you can subscribe to that at either atriskradio.com or at spiritofmartyrdom.com. We want to connect you with those who are risking much for Jesus. And so that's the best way to get started. And beyond that, Carol, can they give you a call if they want to get started on serving with Global Ambassadors?
Oh, that would be the best.
That would be the best.
Yeah, I'd want to hear it first. Yeah, firsthand. Call me.
That would be
call
the
me
best.
Call me at SOM office, 928-634-1419.
All right. And it's right there at spiritofmartyrdom.com. That number is listed there at the bottom of the page. Hey, you know, the other way you can support those who are risking much for Jesus is by either exchanging a donation for a book or by signing up to become a monthly donor. The work that we're doing all over the world is all supported by those of you who give to the work of SOM International. So we would encourage you to do that. You can exchange a book for a donation, or donation for a book, I guess it'd be better said, at sombookstore.com. Until next time, my name is Mark Stafford. Carol, thanks for being on the show. And David, as always, it's a pleasure. We'll see you next time. This has been At Risk Radio.
You've been listening to At Risk Radio. For more, go to atriskradio.com. At Risk Radio is a production of SOM International.